This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
So many questions in this case, still not a lot of answers. And at the end of the day, we still don't know. We still don't know a lot in the Nolan Wells situation, case, death, whatever happened. I want you to know that going into this discussion, and I welcome you to participate in this. This is not just me talking at you. This is us having a conversation. So I do welcome you giving your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we go through this. We will continue our conversation right there. Let's start at the top. There's a video. If you'd follow this case at all, you have probably seen it. A group of young people on a beach, phones up, somebody screaming, the audio blown out, and it's hard to follow. An enormous number of people have watched that clip, believing they were watching the last recorded moments of Nolan Wells' life. The family's attorney presented it publicly, saying you can hear Nolan asking for his phone back with certainty. The person screaming on that recording says it isn't Nolan. He says it is him. Tristan Shepherd, 20 years old, a close friend of Nolan's, told Rolling Stone on July 11th that the voice in the video is his own. He said the argument was between him and a stranger who inserted himself into a disagreement Shepherd was having with his girlfriend. He said Nolan isn't in the shot at all. He gave investigators his full statement the day before he went public. He also pointed to one physical detail that makes the identification impossible. That detail goes and does more damage than the screaming actually does. And we'll get to that in a moment. And there's one document of the case that Mississippi law says Nolan's family is entitled to have, not the public, the family. That statute complicates everybody's story, including the ones being told by the people who have been loudest about transparency. Everyone in this story says they want the truth. The fight is over what counts as proof that somebody is hiding it. Nolan Wells was 18. Ocean Springs, Mississippi. He was a wide receiver at Southwest Mississippi Community College, getting ready to go back for the season. And according to attorney Ben Crump, he would have turned 19 in August. On July 4th of 26, he rowed out from a private dock near Ocean Springs to Horn Island with friends. Horn Island is a federally protected barrier island roughly 10 miles offshore. No facilities, no roads. You get there by boat or you don't get there at all. Jackson County Sheriff John Ledbetter told ABC News the group came back without Nolan. And that, from what investigators understood, he chose to stay behind. His mother, Christine Wansley, reported him missing around midnight going into July 5th. The United States Park Ranger found his body in the water off the island's northwest tip on the morning of July 6th. Warren Hudson, one of the friends on that trip, described the scene during the July 21st podcast appearance. Thousands of people, boats anchored for miles around the island, the most popular day of the year to be out on the water. Thousands of people on that sand, the boat that brought Nolan out pulled away at 4:31 in the afternoon, taking on water, and he wasn't on it. On July 27, 2026, TMZ reported that sources with direct knowledge of the investigation say authorities have evidence placing Nolan on the island after the boat left. And per that reporting, at least two witnesses interviewed by law enforcement say they saw him there after it headed back. Those sources are anonymous, and the sheriff's office has not confirmed it. What happened in the hours after 4:31 is the thing nobody has established. The argument that something is being buried deserves to be built as strong as it can be built, because it's not a stupid argument, and the people making it aren't stupid people. The state autopsy was completed on July 7th, according to sources. It hasn't been released. 16 days later, District Attorney Angel Myers confirmed it stays sealed until a grand jury reviews it. The family got their own, funded by Colin Kaepernick. Crump announced those results on July 22nd at the NAACP National Convention in Chicago. Cause and manner of death, undetermined. Dr. Roger Mitchell reported no fractures and no deep tissue injuries. He described a red discoloration at the back of the skull as inconclusive and worth further investigation. Mitchell's report says the throat didn't arrive with the body. The trachea, the larynx cartilage, the thyroid horn, and hyoid bone. He wrote that retaining anterior neck structures during an initial autopsy is common forensic practice. And it's been reported that pathologists do it when there is concern about the neck. It's not conspiracy that it was held back. It's for further evaluation. Now, look, I know we can go into conversation there. Well, look who's holding it back. Why are they holding it back? Can we trust them to hold it back? Excuse me, allergy season. And I hear you. And that's why questions need to be asked. And that's why everybody's still talking about this and holding any power that is in this story accountable. There are gazillions of eyes on this shit. There are. So consider that a boon to the investigation and to accuracy and to truth coming out. This isn't something where it's being shoved under the rug and nobody's talking about it. There is so much attention here. And trust me, the investigators know it. If something starts to look off or shady, look, even things that are not off and not shady are being questioned as, is this off? Is this shady? When they're not. And that's the important thing with this story and why it is so important not to have a preconceived notion going into it. It's important not to go into this thing thinking everything's hunky-dory. Of course, the investigation will be pure and flawless and there'll be nothing wrong and everything will be by the letter of the law. I'm not going into it that way. It's also important not to go into it going, every person is conspiring and all of his friends somehow secretly hated him. And the moment they got on a boat on the 4th of July, they decided to off their friend. And this is somehow some sort of racially charged murder against what otherwise has a 1,000% track record of friends who love him, who care about him, who've had strong relations with him throughout his lifetime without racial tension or that being even a subject of conversation. He didn't get on the Klan boat with his friends. His friends weren't Klan members. It wasn't anything of the sort. So it's important not to go down that road immediately either. And it's important to take in the evidence as it comes in and accept it for what it is. But ask questions. Ask questions, but questions do have answers. And once an answer is given in a solid fashion and it's just indisputable, it doesn't matter what color you are, who gave it, where you're from, anything. When it's just, here's the answer, at some point you have to go, here's the answer. Not everything is conjecture. Not everything is open to someone's individual truth. There are facts. There is truth. And that should be the goal of everyone. Not trying to incite something here or there or insinuate even that there's something else awry or insinuate that everything is a-okay when we don't know that it is yet. That seems to be the biggest problem with this case. Everyone's insinuating that they think they know what happened. Well, you don't. I don't. You don't. No one does. The person who does is dead. And if there's more information to be had, well, by God, there's a lot of ways it will come about, but patience is going to be key. The pathologist cannot rule out injury to the neck as a contributor or cause of death. His report also lists the biggest limitation in his own work. This is the guy who did the second autopsy, and he can't rule it out, not because it's there, not because that's what happened, because he didn't have the apparatus to say, this is what happened. He didn't have the material. It's like saying, here's Robin's book. We talk about it all the time on the show, okay? If I did not have this book, I couldn't leave a review for this book. I couldn't tell you anything about this book. I couldn't tell you if it's good, if it's bad, if it's anything, because I hadn't read it. I hadn't looked at it. If I didn't have it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Doesn't mean there's not anything in here that will tell us information. It means I don't have it. So to look at that statement and go, well, Robin never read a book, or Robin never wrote a book. Robin never didn't say this. No, I didn't have it. If I didn't have this, so I couldn't tell you anything about it if I don't have it. That's exactly what's happening with the second autopsy. He didn't have that part. So he's saying, I can't give you any information, not because it's suspicious, but because I don't have it. That's what that is. And people want to read more into it. Well, it's like, well, no, it's not really. It's just he didn't have that piece to give a judgment on it. Again, and that's not to say that there couldn't be something of question there. But when you don't have it, you can't comment. And lack of information does not mean conspiracy information. It means it doesn't exist. But that space, that empty space where we have a blank spot, it becomes Mad Libs. It becomes people filling in the blank with what they think. That's what our brains naturally want to do. Don't beat yourself up over your brain going that way. It's just how we work. We want answers. We're constantly trying to fill in blanks. And it works against us a lot of the time. So please be careful when you're examining this case and fight the urge to fill in blanks with information that you don't know yet. His report also lists the biggest limitation of his own work. He couldn't directly observe the airway and the lungs for water. It's a big part of this. The one examination that speaks most directly to drowning was the one he wasn't able to perform, and the state holds a report that can. Then there's the family connection. Warren Hudson's mother is Ashley Cole, a chancellery judge in Mississippi's District 16-2. She posted publicly on July 7th, said neither her nor her husband was on the island, said her son was cooperating with police, and said no one in her family was impeding anything. She said she had deactivated her Facebook account. She wrote, "Yes, I am a judge. I also value transparency." A petition asked the Mississippi Commission on Judicial Performance to investigate whether her public comments crossed a line. You can have comments. Everyone is entitled to them. And expressing your thoughts, and yes, you happen to be a judge, maybe there should be a little more thought process on the way that that is observed and the way that that is interpreted. You know, read the room a little bit. Maybe people are going to read you a little bit differently because of your position. It is what it is. It's how people perceive things. You're not a judge in this case. People hear the word judge. Oh, she's a judge in the case. She's going to like, yeah, no, she's not. Not really can't be. Not that type of judge. But does she have her fingers in the legal system? And if she says something aloud to her friends in the legal system, they'll follow along in line because she says it, because her children were out. And hey, my kids were out there and they killed their friend. Everybody go along with my story. We finally got rid of the friend that they all love because of the color of his skin. Now, that's not how that went down. That's just not how that went down. I can probably confidently say that's probably not how that went down. Probably not. But I get it. I get people when you hear like, oh God, one of the friends is a judge or in the system. Could this steer or control this in some way, shape, or form? Well, we better make sure that it's known that that is a factor here. But follow the direction of where it's going. Does she demonstrate it? Anything of the sort that she's going down some road or trying to steer something this way or that way? No, she really hasn't. She made a comment on Facebook, just like everyone. So there's that. It's something, again, it's something to be aware of. And then there's the phone. Kristen Wansley told Good Morning America that she and her sister went through her son's Snapchat after the phone came back. They found two accounts with nothing in them inside a window when the content, she believes, still should have been there. Again, I get that too. If your son's always on social media, Snapchat, and there's nothing there, and you're like, wait a second, he's missing and there's nothing there. Well, there's also a possible explanation for that, and that the phones are on the boat. And it seems if everybody else's phone seems to line up with that little story, your son would actually be the odd one out if he was filming things. But if everybody else's chats are showing the same thing, and we will get the answer to that through Snapchat, through forensic digital investigation, it's not lost to the ether. It isn't. It will come out. And if it's his phone is consistent with what everybody else's phone was doing, that's not abnormal. As much as you want to make it out to be, or somebody wants to make it out to be, or this or that, like it's pure conjecture. If you looked at my phone a couple weeks ago, I was out on the lake. I was swimming in the lake. I went off of a boat. And if you look at my track record on my phone, if I happened to have gone missing, if I was out there in that water, you would look at my phone and go, what's going on here? There's no activity on this phone for like 2 or 3 hours prior to that disappearance. Yeah, because my phone was on the boat because I didn't want to get it wet. I didn't want to lose it in the water. I kind of needed it. But if you look at the track record of everything, of how frequently I'm on my damn phone, which I'm ashamed of, you would go, what's going on here? But then you can explain it going, oh, well, he went in the water. He didn't want to have his phone on him. There you go. Answer solved. But again, it's a blip. It's something you got to look at. You got to ask the question so you're sure. At the funeral on July 20th, Reverend Al Sharpton said local investigators had spoken too early in suggesting no crime was suspected. And he was right on that. NAACP President Derek Johnson said law enforcement appeared to be repeating what other people were saying instead of finding out for themselves. And they got called to task on that. And they clearly aren't saying it anymore. Christine Wansley said the family went to Crump and Sharpton and the NAACP because they weren't getting what they needed locally. That's a real case. It's not a fringe case, and it lands on ground that a different Mississippi sheriff poisoned years ago with one sentence on a Facebook page. Calling this a blackout runs into a problem, though. A blackout produces nothing. This has produced a paper trail you can go read yourself. NBC News obtained the dispatch audio through a public records request. The boat's bilge pump filled. The op failed. The operator called for help. We're going. We're sinking. Can y'all please come? A dispatcher asked whether everyone on the boat was accounted for and is in good health. The caller said, yes, we went through the audio of that. You can watch it on our channel. It ended up being, for me, more of a customer service nightmare than it actually did prove anything evidentiary of note in this case, quite honestly, in my opinion. Your boat's sinking. Can I have your member number? Are you sure you're a member? just listen to it. It's like if your boat's sinking and you're calling this company asking for help, like they didn't really seem all that interested in helping immediately. It felt kind of like, let's make sure they're a paying customer first before we send that boat out to help them while they're sinking, which in itself was, I'd be horrified if that was my company and that's how that was handled. Holy shit. Go listen to it. I mean, just on that note itself, people are welcome to interpret whatever they want out of the background. And there's a lot of people interpreting things out of the background of that phone call. I'm telling you, I've worked with audio since 1996, professionally. Before that, I was working with it on my own computer at home. I've done a thing or two with waveforms and tried to clear things up and hear things, and I understand how the brain works in terms of filling in blanks when you're hearing mumbled, garbled words and you think there's a direction of in which they are speaking. And there's, I'm telling you, a lot of that going on with that audio. Are there moments in that audio that you go, that sounds kind of weird? Yeah. Is there anything that is extremely definitive that I think you could hang your hat on in a court of law? No. At least as of right now. CBS News obtained GPS data from the Mississippi Department of Marine Resources tracking that boat's movement. CBS also obtained the Marine Resources report itself, which reflects that the boat's owner, his mother, and one other person reportedly with Nolan on July 4th all cooperated. That report ends on July 5th when the Jackson County Sheriff's Office took over as lead agency. Ledbetter confirmed to WLOX on July 16th that the FBI is helping examine digital evidence and explained that the involvement is routine because Horn Island sits on Federal Island and his office works with the FBI often, which is a strange favor to ask of the Bureau if the plan is to keep a lid on things. Investigators publicly asked the crowd from that day to send in original, unedited photos and video, specifically anything showing alleged altercations. That's law enforcement asking the public to hand over the exact material most likely to blow up the version of events they'd been given. A department burying something doesn't necessarily crowdsource the evidence against itself. And look, if the evidence is out there, we're nearly a month into this thing. We are nearly a month into this thing. And you had hundreds of teenagers with devices. Trust me, if somebody had footage of some sort of altercation in some way, shape, or form, I think we would have seen it by now. Not that it went to the police department and died, but it would have come out. In my opinion, I could be 1,000% wrong on that assumption. But groups of people are not good at holding secrets. They're just not. Ledbetter told the Sun-Herald his people had interviewed roughly 60 witnesses and that the three friends who traveled out with Nolan had been interviewed in depth, none of which means the sheriff has been forthcoming. CNN reported that Ledbetter didn't respond to its questions on a Friday, including the fairly basic one about whether every friend from that trip had been interviewed. The department can hand over a tracking log and still duck a reporter, and this one has done both. And it's just, again, this is why we hold them to account. But also we need to understand that they are not under an obligation to reveal every piece of their investigation to the public upon demand of answer. That's how investigations work. It's how every investigation works, regardless of color, race, creed, ethnicity, anything. They're not. They don't have to do that. It doesn't mean they're hiding anything. It also means they're investigating something, and you don't put information out if you're trying to investigate something, and if you, especially if you're honing in on someone or something. You don't tip your hand and go, oh, yeah, you, by the way, you asked this, by the way, yeah, we think so-and-so might be involved. We're not quite sure yet, but we're going to go and talk to them later today. Why don't you do that? Because if somebody out there that does have some information or knows something and they haven't shared it yet and they have a source or a device or something that could reveal information, they'd rather not tip that person off to destroy it before they find it. That's investigative technique, just kind of 101. Doesn't fill the gap, doesn't fill the void, doesn't answer the question you want answered in that moment in time. And I get it. I hate when I don't get my questions answered. I hate it because I'm very like, I need answers. But it is what it is, and it doesn't show nefarious intent. But hey, the fact that we're noticing this and we're calling this out and going, well, they're not answering those questions, that's good. That means there's eyes on them, which they need. Why? Because Mississippi has a horrific history in this department. But the simple act of, we're not going to tell you every detail of what's going on in our investigation, doesn't mean jack. It doesn't. We are following this wherever it goes. Trust me. The friends aren't quiet either. Shepard talked to Rolling Stone and to ABC News. Javon Williams talked to TMZ. Hudson sat for a podcast interview. Shepard said he's been in communication with Nolan's family's authorities have said the teenagers on the trip cooperated. And they have done so publicly. Warren Hudson told Brandon Tatum he begged Nolan repeatedly to get on the boat as the group pulled out. That account is his, and other people who were out there have described that afternoon differently. And material keeps reaching this family from outside official channels. Brian Trasher of the United Cajun Navy told TMZ he was in a helicopter roughly 400 feet over Horn Island on July 6. He was shooting wide photographs of the response. He only realized later that Nolan's body was in the frame. He offered the images to the family. Christine Wansley accepted and asked to view them in person. The people a cover-up would need to keep silent are the ones giving interviews. So back to that video and the detail Shepard pointed to. He told Rolling Stone the young man everybody has identified as Nolan is too short. Shepard put Nolan at 6'2". CNN has reported his height is 6'1". Take either number and the person in that frame doesn't reach it. It's not him in the video. Sorry. Maybe you should have looked into that a little more in detail, Mr. Crump, before you threw it out into the ether. I know there's plenty of people who are ready to just jump on that shit like a hyena and go, ah, see, regardless of what sort of truth comes out to disprove your claim. But that's why it's important not to release things and make direct comments or assertions about things that you yourself are not entirely sure of. It can come back to bite you in the ass. Or don't you care if it gets enough people on your side of the coin lining your pockets and making people angry and confused? And a family that's trying to mourn their loved one. Overtaken with the information you're putting out there and the pots you're stirring, that look, there's all attention here. I don't know that the pots necessarily need to be stirred. We're watching them. They're cooking. When you cook something on a stove, you don't need to always keep, sometimes you just got to just let it simmer. Let it simmer, let it cook. If something is going to happen, it's going to happen. And there's every eyeball on it to make sure. You don't throw shit in there just for the hell of it. And say, look, this is what this is. Well, that's not part of the recipe. What are you doing here? Thank God there's advocates for this family, without a doubt. But again, be accurate with the information you're putting out, because not everybody's going to dig as deep as we are or true crimers are. They're going to take your words, and their words have meaning, and they're going to trust you with what you're saying. And I know you probably take advantage of that. People trusting your words. So you can just say something and people will simply believe it. But there's a downside to that, too, especially when you incite a lot of people to believe something that's simply not true. I don't know. I want truth. I don't want a narrative. I hope you do, too. There was also a photo that spread as proof Nolan made it off the island alive. Shepard told Rolling Stone it was taken on June 27th, a week before the trip. That was going around. See? Yeah, that's old. Somebody else provided the outlet with metadata from that image and the other photos shot the same night, confirming the date. See how things spread, though? Somebody with some sort of authority just say, see, this is this. Well, if that person's saying it, it must be true. No! We're in an age where everybody has to be their own investigative reporter, unfortunately. Rolling Stone reported that videos taken out of context and images generated by artificial intelligence have also been circulated and attached to this investigation. McLarth urged people to stop passing around false material. The same pattern is running on the emergency call. TMZ ran the audio from the sinking boat through enhancement, and a great many people came away certain that they hear somebody ask whether he's dead. Enhanced audio is not a transcript. It's a processed guess at a degraded signal. And what a listener already believes tends to decide what the listener hears. There's a cost attached to all of it, and the cost is documented. Nolan's friends have been receiving death threats from people who misidentified individuals in that clip. Shepard told ABC News he turned down on-camera interviews because he feared for his safety. Thank you, Mr. Crump. Wasn't that nice of you for putting people's lives at risk unnecessarily? People that Nolan cared about and loved. I'm sure he's looking down, smiling at your antics. Yeah, torture my friends. Especially if they had nothing to do with this. Look, if they did, I get it. But we're not there. And you're in no position to incite people to go after innocent people. You want truth, you want innocent until proven guilty, then stop acting like people are guilty when you have no evidence of it. Ask questions, ask for investigations. Don't incite hatred. Don't incite viciousness when there doesn't need to be. Especially after the people that this young man was closest to. That to me is sick. That is weird. It is sick. It is self-serving. It is the opposite of helping a family. Kristen Wansley's Nolan's mother, the one person in this with more standing to be suspicious than anybody, posted this on Facebook on July 11th. The internet is unhinged. Well, Christine, there's a reason for that. It's the man that's attached themselves to your family. So a portion of what people are calling suppressed evidence has already been checked, and it didn't hold. It wasn't the sheriff's office that knocked it down. It wasn't Nolan's own. It was Nolan's own friends and a magazine with a fact-checking department who did that. Some of the feeling that facts are being hidden is a feeling of unverified claims, failing verification out in the open. None of that makes the question illegitimate, and nobody who says it does isn't paying attention to where this happened. Again, this is such a hard case because of the history there, because of the shit that goes down and has gone down and still continues to go down in many parts of Mississippi. But again, you have to look at this case and go, is this that? And answer it honestly. And we're still at the point of, I don't know. I don't know. But I can know, and I can see things that are being done inappropriately and with ulterior motives that are not aimed at finding the truth. Snapchat, or rather Sharpton, I don't know why I said Snapchat. Sharpton said it plainly at the funeral. People across the country are looking at this case because they're looking at the history in Mississippi. That's not a rhetorical flourish. It's a citation. And here's what it cites. Rasheem Carter, this wasn't long ago. Rasheem Carter was 25. He went missing on October 2nd of 2022 after telling his mother that white men in trucks were chasing him. His remains were found on November 2nd in woods south of Taylorsville. The next day, the Smith County Sheriff's Department posted that it had no reason to believe foul play was involved. That's the sentence. That's the one. The state medical examiner's office later determined that no cause of death could be reasonably established. The state's medical examiner's office later determined that no cause of death could be reasonably established. Crump called it a modern-day Mississippi lynching. Months later, Sheriff Joel Houston told NBC News he hadn't actually ruled out homicide and told ABC News, nothing is being swept under the rug. There's nothing to hide. A department that had already told the public what to think was suddenly eager to advertise its open mind. Then there's Rankin County. Again, these are not long ago. So this is where you have to have some understanding as to why questions are being asked as heavily they are. But the questions that are being asked and the people who are asking them also have to understand not everything is that, but it is reasonable after you have the reps of Mississippi and what they've done in its existence to be very hesitant to simply accept the truth at face value. I do understand that. But again, like I said, there is truth at the end of the day with anything. It is what it is. Rankin County on January 24th of 2023. Six white former law officers, some of whom called themselves the Goon Squad. I know, does that sound nice? In 2023. Went into a home without a warrant and carried out a racially motivated attack on Michael Corey Jenkins and Eddie Terrell Parker. According to court documents, they planted drugs and guns afterwards to bury it under false charges. All six pled guilty. United States District Judge Tom Lee called the crimes egregious and despicable, and federal sentences ran to roughly 132 years combined. In September 24, the Justice Department opened a pattern or practice civil rights investigation into that sheriff's department. So yes, the question is earned, paid in full. But look hard at what those failures actually were. In Smith County, the failure was a sheriff who talked, who reached a public conclusion in about a day and then spent months defending it. In Rankin County, the failure was officers who wrote down a story that wasn't true. Neither one was silence. Both of them were certainty, arriving far too early. There's also a clock difference that nobody says out loud. Carter's family was stonewalled for more than 4 months before the sheriff walked anything back. Weeks into the Wells investigation, there's a records trail, an FBI referral, a joint evidence inspection, and a public call for footage. And the single moment in this case that most resembles the pattern people are afraid of is its own moment. Officials spoke early. Per CNN, when Nolan's body was found on July 6, local officials said it appeared to be an accidental drowning and that no foul play was suspected. Ledbetter told CNN that day that no foul play had been identified at that point. A drowning conclusion offered the same day before state autopsy, before toxicology, before the FBI touched the digital evidence. Maybe you should be a little less trigger happy on that one. Maybe you shouldn't be saying that out loud. Maybe you should learn from your mistakes or the mistakes of your colleagues and just shut the up. That Sharpton's legitimate hit, and it's a fair one, considering the context here. Everything since has been the opposite of the behavior, though. Should that have been said to begin with? No. Do people say stupid things? Yes. Are people stupid? Yes. But it doesn't mean that Nolan's friends are behind some conspiracy to kill their friend. It doesn't mean every piece of this case falls apart. Two of them hold weight. And the first one is the judge, because that threat has been left hanging by nearly everything and everybody covering this. Ashley Cole sits on the Chancery Board in Mississippi's District 16-2. Chancery Court in Mississippi is a court of equity, divorce and alimony, child custody, adoptions, wills and estates, guardianships, land titles and contracts. Jackson County's own Chancery Court page lists exactly that docket. Federal criminal cases aren't heard in Chancery Court. They go to Circuit Court. They're brought by a district attorney who is separately elected, investigated by a sheriff who is separately elected. And in this instance, the FBI is examining the digital evidence. It's like, oh, are you a police officer? I'm an officer. What? I'm a dog catcher. Oh, so you're not hard crimes investigator. I mean, it's not the same thing. It's not, doesn't even touch the same areas of law. So that's important. And look, there's plenty of cases where we find out there's a judge very close to things and we talk about it. This isn't that. It's not that. It just isn't that. If it was, trust me, we'd be all over it. So the version of this where a judge quietly steers a death investigation away from her son runs straight into a jurisdictional wall. There's no criminal docket for her to steer it onto. That's checkable and it checks out. None of which means her conduct is a non-issue. The petition to the Mississippi Commission on Judicial Performance isn't about jurisdiction at all. It's about a sitting judge publicly commenting on an active death investigation while identifying herself as a judge and whether doing that damages public confidence in the courts. Might be wise just to not say that out loud right now. That's a legitimate complaint. It also is a completely different complaint from the one being made online, and it will be decided by people whose job it is to decide. Then there's that document. Mississippi Code Section 416165 says a copy of the autopsy report shall be furnished to one adult member of the descendants or the deceased immediate family or to their legal representative upon request. That's the text of the statute. Whether the district attorney's position squares with that entitlement is a fair question to put to her, and it's a completely different question from whether the press gets a copy. But there is someone who has a copy outside of law enforcement, very likely today. Why we haven't heard what's in that, I do not know the answer to that question. I don't know if there's an order of you can see it, but you can't publicly disclose this until there's a grand jury. There might be. I don't know. I do not know. A lot of speculation there. Could have been whatever the information is. Maybe there's a reason to share it. Maybe there's not. Again, I don't know. I'm not going to go down a road of saying I do. And here's why. Because I don't. We'll find out. On the public side, she's standing on solid ground. Sections 256112 makes investigative reports held by law enforcement exempt from the Public Records Act and leaves any release to the agency's discretion. McLarth also cited Mississippi's rules of professional conduct, which bar her from publicly discussing evidence during an active investigation. But push on the reason she gave. She said releasing details early could influence witnesses. Roughly 60 witnesses have already been interviewed. The friends' accounts are already in Rolling Stone, on ABC News, on TMZ, on a podcast. Shielding witnesses from information they handed out themselves is a neat trick. The contamination argument is thinnest, exactly where she's leaning onto it hardest. And somebody outright or ought to say that out loud to her face. Her grand jury explanation does hold up as stated practice. She said every death in the county, except natural causes and non-criminal car wrecks, goes to a grand jury, and that death investigations have been handled that way her entire career. A grand jury looking at death doesn't mean charges are coming. It also doesn't mean there aren't any either. What she hasn't said is when. Reuters reported that her office didn't answer questions about when jurors would be convened or what evidence they would see. So the public gets a sealed report, an unscheduled proceeding, and toxicology results that also haven't come back. That's a lot of weight resting on a calendar nobody will show you. And here's a piece almost nobody's mentioned. McLarth agreed to a joint inspection of Nolan's recovered phone with the family's own experts. University of Mississippi law professor Ronald Wright, Reichlach told the Associated Press that mutual inspection of evidence between police and a victim's family is not typical. Evidence gets secured, it doesn't get shared. So the office accused of hiding evidence agreed to examine a piece of it alongside the people doing it accusing. That's not how a cover-up spends its afternoon. This is genuinely hard, and decent people are landing in different places on it for decent reasons. Weeks in a careful investigation and a slow burial look identical from the outside. Both of them are quiet. Both of them say pending. Both of them ask you to wait, and neither one hands you a reason to believe the waiting ends somewhere good. What separates them isn't tone. It's three things a person can actually check. Does the withholding have a rule behind it? Is a record growing while nothing is being announced? And are the people asking questions getting access or getting doors shut in their faces? On all three, this doesn't sound like Smith County. There's still a bill outstanding, an official cause and manner of death. Whatever a grand jury does with it, and a straight answer on what that statute entitles Nolan's family to receive and when. There's also a symmetry here that's uncomfortable no matter which side of it you stand on. A family is demanding verification from the state. The state's critics have been circulating claims that don't survive verification. Both of these things are true at the same time. Neither one cancels either one out. Thousands of people were on the sand on that island on the 4th of July. Boats anchored for miles. A kid was supposed to be back on the football field, walked into that crowd, and the boat that carried him out there pulled away at 4:31 without him. Whether anyone ever learns what happened in those hours depends on whether the quiet is work or whether the quiet is a wall. On the record so far, it looks like work. And the people refusing to take that on faith, the ones filling in records requests and asking about the statute and demanding the report, are a very large part of the reason it's going to stay work, because questions need to be answered. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'll continue it right there. Links are in the description. Again, we just don't know. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something, but I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.